grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't really know exactly how a seed sprouts and grows into a plant. I guess maybe I don't remember all that much from my high school biology class, but I do know that the sprouting of the seed is called germination. So I looked this up and found this definition of germination. It's the growth of an embryonic plant contained within a seed. The seed contains an embryo and stored food reserves. Under favorable conditions, the seed begins to germinate and the embryonic tissues resume growth, developing to a seedling. Well, that's all well and good, but I still don't understand exactly how all of those processes work and how the seed produces that plant's growth. How does that embryo in the seed have the power, the ability, to suddenly, under the right conditions, start to grow? To send down roots into the soil and to send up a stalk and then big green leaves and eventually finally to produce fruit or flower. I'm sure if there were a botanist among us, they could explain it more to us in great detail. But I'm not sure that even a botanist could explain how that simple-looking little seed has the power of life in it. But of course, you don't have to know that in order to simply just plant seeds in your garden and grow plants. You just need some seeds and some dirt and some water, and you're on your way. Put the seeds in the dirt and wait for that mysterious power to produce a plant. And then eventually to produce fruit or grain or a flower. Sure, there are some things that you can do to help that growth of the seed and the plant along. But finally, the power of life isn't in you and what you do, but it's in the seed. You just plant it and then watch it grow. And finally, God willing, enjoy the results of what has been grown. Jesus says to us today that that is what the kingdom of God is like. On that day when Jesus was teaching, he was sitting out in a fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee, pushed out a little ways from the shore of the lake so that he could speak to a great crowd of people who were gathered along the lake shore that day. For Jesus, that was his pulpit, his classroom, as he taught those people who were lined up there on the shore to hear him speak. He taught them using parables, using a story that compares something that's familiar to us, something down to earth, but that Jesus uses to teach a profound spiritual truth. With each parable, Jesus usually taught one main thing about how God works with his grace in people's hearts. That is what Jesus is talking about when he refers to the kingdom of God. He's talking about the power of the good news of his salvation at work in the hearts of his people. Jesus had just finished teaching the parable about the man who had scattered his seed on the ground with a variety of different results, if you remember that story. In that parable, the seed stood for the word of God. And we saw that seed cast on some ground where the birds snatched it up right away, and other ground where it was choked out by brambles or thorns, which represent the cares and concerns of this life. And Jesus himself explained that parable for us in all its details. Now that was one of Jesus' longer parables, and the parable that we have before us today is one of his shorter parables. But it's also about a seed that is planted in the ground and that grows and produces life. So what do we learn in this little parable about the kingdom of God? Well, obviously we learn that the kingdom of God is a matter of sowing or scattering seed on the ground. The planter just throws the seed out there onto the ground. That is his job. That's really all that he can do. And of course, he does have to actually do it. The seed doesn't get scattered or planted by itself. So that planter, that farmer, does have to expend some energy in walking along his field and scattering that seed on the ground. But ultimately, sowing the seed, scattering the seed, putting it down on the ground, that's really all that he has the power to do. But he does it confidently. He throws the seed on the ground in the confidence that it will sprout and grow. And then he waits, and it does. Whether he is awake or asleep, busy with other things in his life, that seed germinates and grows. He doesn't really understand all the science of exactly how it works, and he doesn't really need to. It just does work, because that seed has in itself the mysterious, invisible power of life. I'm sure that many of you have heard this parable before, and even if it's your first time hearing it, you probably figured out already what the meaning is that Jesus is teaching here. As in the previous parable that Jesus told about the seed falling on different kinds of soil and having different results, here again Jesus is comparing the Word of God to the seed that is planted in the ground. In this parable, the sower of the seed could be Jesus himself. Later, when the work of redemption was done, Jesus would send out his apostles, the men that he had chosen and trained to be his missionaries. And those apostles would represent him in scattering, spreading the Word of God to many people throughout the world. The soil, the ground in the parable on which the seed is cast, is the human heart, or many human hearts, where God wants his word to germinate and to take root and to grow and produce fruit. When God's word is scattered on human hearts, that's exactly what God's word does in many hearts, because the simple seed is so powerful. God's word has within itself that mysterious power to give life. Really? Does God's word really have such power? Our Lord Jesus says, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." Does that seed really produce results? Well, God said through his prophet Isaiah, "My word will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Does God's word really have life-giving power within it? Well, the Apostle Peter wrote, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God." So the answer to all those questions is yes, it does. God's word does have that miraculous, life-giving power within it. But sometimes we have so little confidence in the power of God's word, don't we? So little confidence in the power of God's word that we sometimes neglect to use God's word for ourselves. Sometimes we also have so little confidence in God's word that we don't sow it, we don't scatter it on the ground of other people's hearts. But do you think a farmer would ever look at the bag of seed that he has and think, that seed will probably never grow anyway, so why should I even bother to plant it in the ground? Christians ever say to themselves, "Him? He'll never listen if I try to share God's word with him. Her? No. There's no way that she would ever believe in Jesus as your Savior. No way that person would ever become a Christian." Sometimes we think that we can read the soil just by looking at it and tell ahead of time whether a certain person would believe in the message of God's word or not. And if we think that they won't believe, then we think, well, why even bother trying to share God's word with them in the first place? But why should we not be confident? Jesus said in this parable, all by itself, the soil produces grain. This is the natural course of things. You put the seed in the dirt, And eventually it grows up and produces grain, or corn, or a tomato, or whatever. Jesus doesn't mean that the soil itself actually produces that fruit. That's just where that growth happens. The dirt, the soil by itself, is dead. It has no life in it until you plant the seed within it. The soil will produce nothing by itself unless we plant the seed. But when we do plant that seed, wow, then the growth begins. It germinates, the roots go down, a stalk goes up, and eventually the head is formed and the grain matures. This is what happens in the human heart when God's word is planted and God's grace is at work. That is the kingdom of God. There's life that begins to grow there that was not there before, spiritual life. And it grows and produces fruit. Now, the people who were sitting on the shore or the bank of the Sea of Galilee that day, who heard Jesus say these words, but who were not yet believers in him as the Savior, they almost certainly didn't understand what Jesus meant by those words that he said. That's the nature of parables. But Jesus' disciples, however, they could understand. And believers like you and me can and do understand these words of Jesus. We know that God's word of law and gospel is powerful. In the simplest terms, the law shows us our sin, and the gospel shows us our Savior. The powerful word of God leads us to repent of our sins and gives us faith to believe that Jesus is our Savior who has fully paid for all of the sins that we have committed. And so that gospel then produces fruit within us, within our souls, and in our lives, that is so much better than any fruit that we can grow on a tree or purchase at a supermarket. God's word produces spiritual fruit, starting with a heart that hates sin, that hates sin in all of its forms, with a heart that looks to Jesus for redemption, for forgiveness, and for a peaceful and perfect relationship with God. And that's not all. There's more fruit. There's the fruit of a mouth that confesses Jesus, both in our worship service and in witnessing his love to others. That heart of faith produces love that finds its outlet in all kinds of good works. Feet that go to serve and hands that are so willing to serve others. A mind that grows in the knowledge of the grace of God. Ears that want to hear more about this word of God's love for us. There's a person, a Christian, who grows in strength, in patience, and in perseverance, who grows in resistance to temptation and sin, who grows in joy, who grows in bold and confident prayer to God, who grows in cheerfully accepting God's discipline and training throughout our lives, who grows in the hope of eternal life with God in heaven, who grows in godliness of living and in peace, knowing God's love. Always growing, always producing fruit. That's what happens when God's word is planted and when God himself is at work through that word. The good news about our Savior falls on the soil of our hearts. The truth of what God's Son, Jesus, did to redeem us gives us life. That Jesus lived righteously and obediently, that good news comforts us. Because Jesus' flawless righteousness, his perfect life, is credited to our account as our own. That Jesus suffered and died and rose again comforts us because we know that all of our sins were counted as Jesus' sins, and that he was condemned and punished in our place. So that God will not condemn us anymore or punish us. It comforts us so much to know that Jesus, our Savior, has risen from the dead because his life is our life. trusting in Jesus, we now have life in us. There's spiritual life. Life that is eternal, that will never end, and that produces fruit here and now. Our Lord also reminds us in this parable of one more thing. He reminds us that the time of planting and growing and bearing fruit will not last forever. There comes a time to harvest the grain, and then the stalk of the plant will be cut down and burned. The time for fruit bearing ends for every individual believer when he or she dies. The time for growing and producing will end for everyone when Jesus comes again on the last day in glory as the judge of all mankind. That will also be the end of time for sowing the seed, for scattering that seed of God's word so that it falls onto the hearts of people to produce repentance and faith. St. Paul wrote, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now, today, God's gracious, life-giving word falls on our hearts. God's law shows us our sin, including our lack of love for the souls of others and our reluctance to sow the seed, to share the word of God with other people. God's gospel shows us our Savior, whose righteousness is ours, whose cross is ours, whose death is ours, whose resurrection is ours, whose life is now ours through faith that has been given to us. God's word, yes, that simple seed is so powerful. May the grace of Christ that so comforts us each day also compel us to sow this seed eagerly and energetically, wherever, whenever, and however, on whomever we can. May the Lord give us a humble confidence to trust in the power of his word, to know that the power to produce faith and spiritual life is not within us, but it is within that word of God that he has given us to share. May God give us a vision of his word that will accomplish great results within us, within our children, within our families and friends, and within so many others throughout this world. Let's trust in his power and in his promise and share his word with confidence. Amen.